Are you there?
Yes, yeah, indeed.
Okay. Well, hello. This is Jeff Gaudiosi, and you are on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And my guest today is just a true legend. He's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame guitarist from his time in Genesis, as well as a prolific solo artist who recently released his 25th solo record, The Amazing at the Edge of Light. And he'll soon kick off a world tour in support of the record. So please welcome Steve Hackett. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you. Hi there, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm great. Congratulations, first of all, on your 25th solo release. Can you talk a bit about the writing process? Do you have a set process for each record in terms of your collaborators and timing and things like that? Or is everyone a little bit different?
Well, in recent years, I've been working ever more closely with my wife, Jo. Sometimes we'll share a lyrical idea. Either one of us can kick it off, and we tend to run lines by each other. And so it's nice to work with that, you know, face-to-face. You get complete honesty.
Especially from your wife.
Yeah, exactly. We know each other well enough now to know that if we criticize the lion, we're not criticizing each other.
Right.
So I think it goes from strength to strength that way. I also work with Roger King, who records the stuff, plays keyboards with us, has done for many years, and I think between the two of them, they can be quite hard to please at times, which is, I think, a good thing, because I know that I'm difficult to please as well. So I like to think that team, you know, works very well together, and then everyone who arrives on the record adds something of their own. So a certain amount can be scripted, but a certain amount is left to the world of the spontaneous. So I like surprises, and I encourage people to not just play all the ideas that I've come up with or sing them, but add ideas of their own as well. So I think it makes for a better product in the end.
And it really is a beautiful record. It takes the listener on kind of a musical journey. You have Middle Eastern sounds. You have gospel and blues influences. You have some Indian music. And of course, the rock and prog elements that you're known for that kind of tie it all together. Were you aiming for that kind of diversity when you went into the process, or did it just come naturally?
Well, I think that diversity is something that has intrigued me for years. I think, you know, the best acts that I've been or the best musicians and writers that I've been engaged by, there's always the element of surprise and something in the arrangements that just seems as if it's been there for all time. You can't really plan for it too much other than use a team that's, in my case, it's a team that come from all over the world. And they all end up on the same record. It's much the same team that was on the previous record, The Night mm-hmm. Siren, but with the addition of one or two others, and for instance, from India, Shima Mukherjee, the sitar player, it was extraordinary to work with her and see how fast she was able to pick up on the ideas. The track that she did with us was completely undeveloped. We just had the idea of a drone, a theme, a set line, and then everything else to be improvised. So she was working very much with roughs, but the extraordinary thing was she's not just playing the top line, she's playing the sympathetic strings in between as well. So there's this rhythmic cycle going on with her, and I have no idea how she managed to be quite so fluent with that, but but she did, and it was a joy to watch and listen and see her do something completely perfectly in one go that I was very happy to receive that.
And while you mentioned a lot of this record does have similarities to your previous one, but I think it also kind of stands on its own in that you've gone back a little bit to some of the more epic songs. Like, you know, my personal favorite on Those Golden Wings, I think is something that really kind of takes the listener back and brings in all of your history.
I think I had an idea for the tune and then I had an idea for the introduction once the tune was recorded. So ideas don't always they don't always work chronologically. Sometimes I'll do something and think, oh, that's the beginning, and then I get another idea. I think, well, actually, I could introduce it another way. So I had an idea of an orchestral introduction to it that might sound a little bit like Tchaikovsky, and so we arranged it in that way. We developed it in that way, and then there are the other ideas as well. Although it's a love song, there are lots of surprises within it. So it's probably close to things that I've done in the past in terms of length. You know, right back in Genesis days, the average song we did was about 10 minutes long. So it fits into that category, the 10 or 11 minute thing. So you've got plenty of vocal. You've also got plenty of room to stretch out instrumentally and not just in one style, but different things, different choirs, different styles. The surprises keep going. So it's a bit like scenes in a movie. The scene shifts and there's a different emphasis, classical influence, rock influence, love song and dramatic things and dramatic pauses.
Yeah, it really is a cinematic composition, which I think is my favorite on the record. Now, soon you're going to be starting just a huge tour that'll take you through most of 2019.
Yes.
And it not only incorporates material from At the Edge of Light, but concentrates on two of your classic releases, Selling England by the Pound from Genesis and your solo release, Spectral Mornings.
Yes.
How'd you decide on those two in particular?
Well, I had an idea of doing Selling England by the Pound. I thought there was no centenary planned, but it just happens to fit with 40 years of Spectral Mornings. At one point, I was talking to my record company, Inside Out, and they were saying, "Oh, you know, what if you did Spectral Mornings and you focused on that and made that a calling card for audiences that might remember that?" Because it had been a fan favorite, and it's also one of my favorites. So I thought, well, why don't we have two favorites, and you know, build back into the Genesis stuff and do the whole of Selling England by the Pound, and also include the missing track that Peter Gabriel started many years ago, that I finished off in the mid 90s with his blessing, and the track Deja Vu is in there. So I think of it as the complete Selling England by the Pound. It's that deleted scene. It's the kind of director's cut aspect. Because I thought that the track that he was trying to get us to do way back in 1972 and 1973, it promised to be really good, and I finished it on Revisited number one with Paul Carrack singing it, but Nad mentioned it to me recently, Nad Sylvan, who sings most of the Genesis stuff with us, and he said, "I would really like to do that track." And since I mentioned that I might, there seems to be a lot of interest in it. Yes, the story of the missing track. I think that Selling England was an extraordinary album for the band. It's my favorite Genesis album. It was at a time when John Lennon picked up on us and said that we were one of the bands that he was listening to. But quite apart from that, if no one had liked it, it's one of my personal favorites. Mm-hmm. And then Spectral Mornings, I feel something special happened on that. So I was really looking for a collection of miraculously magical albums, and every now and again that happens. If you're lucky, I think you've got to be making albums for a long time. So you mentioned the current album. Mm-hmm. Now, that one is also a personal favorite, which happens to have done very well in the charts in 10 different territories. Mm-hmm. And I've never really had an album which people have responded to quite as positively as this one.
Well, that's good to hear.
So I must be doing something right, and so I'm going to feature some of that in this this sojourn. And I'm very pleased to be working with all these three things that I think are all exquisite in their own ways.
Yeah, Selling England by the Pound, it's kind of a watershed record for a few reasons, not the least of which is your playing on it. It has the first real examples of, you know, the two-hand tapping and the sweep picking that really went on to influence the entire decade of the 80s. What was it in the studio that kind of started you thinking along that line of coming up with something new like that?
Well, it seemed to me that Dancing with the Moonlit Night, the opening track of Selling England by the Pound, even in its embryonic form, it went through so many changes. Plain song, stuff that sounds a little kind of hymn-like and anthemic, but influence of Edward Elgar, all of that, the kind of nod to Victoriana and all things English. And then it goes into something which I think predates fusion as we know it. And it's a track that has lots and lots of surprises. And there are also improvised moments on it. So it runs the gamut of things. And I thought I'd better do a very inventive solo on this if I'm going to lead the charge at this point. So it featured tapping, sweep picking, and octave jumps, and those three things as separate techniques had not actually been named. I was just doing them all instinctively, and I guess it was like jumping on a time machine and going into the future, because mm-hmm. these things were to become the mainstay of or the techniques of many heavy metal shredders who were to follow in the wake of all that. So it was groundbreaking stuff. It's a track that's full of great sounds from everybody, I think. Tony's keyboards, very, very strange, you know, a choir kicking in the Mellotron voices, used very well, as far as I'm concerned, and the Mellotron cello and the very angular line that it played, twinned with the distorted electric piano, something that just takes off like a rocket when it goes fast. And so I thought, this is propelling me along. Like, I feel like I'm on a vehicle and I'm being taken off on this extraordinary journey. We're off, and I can feel the wind on this, you know, past my you know, everything's trailing in the wake of that. And I thought, if I play Fast and Furious on that, you know, that'll be very rhythmic, and that'll be something that'll engage Phil Collins, which indeed it did. And so I think it was rhythmically very, very good. Phil plays wonderfully on it. The drums are extraordinarily loose but clever. They're not uptight, you know. It swings, and yet it's going through so many different time signatures, but no one was really counting. We just did it instinctively, and it worked. Very angular, and I don't think there's anything quite like it. It's you can't really pin it down and say, oh, it's a genre that's the following. You know, it is pan-genre, and it's stepped through so many things in its 7 or 8 minute life.
Yeah. And, you know, Peter has tended to shy away from playing Genesis material live. And the other guys don't tour very frequently. And when they do, they usually don't go past the 80s heyday of the band.
No.
Yeah. Do you feel like you're the one that's left sort of carrying the torch for the legacies of, you know, that classic lineup of Genesis?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I'd heard that, you know, when Pete was touring with Sting, Sting had been working on him for the entire tour to include something of Selling England by the Pound. I didn't realize he was a fan of it, but
I actually saw that tour, and Sting had Sting played Dancing
something.
With the Moonlit Night.
Yeah, there's something of that, and I feel that it's a very strange thing, but Genesis, very much unlike the Beatles, tended to almost to a man denounce their early past, and whereas I celebrate it. I think it's absolutely the epitome of what Genesis was capable of before it was having a whole string of hit singles.
Mm-hmm.
Although we did have a hit on the album, which is I Know What I Like. And I think, you know, that track wouldn't have happened if I hadn't persisted on, you know, playing this idea in an embryonic form, which became the song. And I feel the same about Genesis History, where I think it's very precious that other people of distinction have picked up on this album. And I think it's no coincidence that here we are, it's you know, facing Selling England by the Pound again, and to do the complete version of it is something that is too good to pass up on. So I'll leave everyone else to their you know, stick to their guns, and if they want to you know, divorce themselves from their past, that's fine. But that's where I come in. I think, well, this is my job, you know, to say this is an extraordinary thing. It was full of extraordinary techniques, and I think that everyone in the band who played on it did an extraordinary job. Everyone got a chance to steer that machine.
And it's funny you make sort of that comparison with the Beatles, of how, the you know, unlike them, Genesis has tended to shy away from its history.
Yes, yeah. Now, they will one day come to know the place for the first time when they return to it. But meanwhile, I've returned to it first. And I think it's not just worth celebrating. I think it's a glorious moment in time.
Without a doubt.
It's what it's all about for me.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the five of you have gotten together a few times. So the Rock Hall induction in 2010, the 2014 BBC documentary, but you haven't performed. Do you think at some point, either the five of you or some version of the five of you that you're included in would play again?
I know that rumors abound, but meanwhile, I prefer to celebrate the music politics-free, and I think that you know, the five guys who were in Genesis have all got five separate ideas of what Genesis was all about, and this is my idea of what Genesis was all about, and therefore is all about.
And if most know, Genesis wasn't your only band. In the 80s, you took a break from your solo material and did GTR with Steve Howe.
Yes.
Now that there's some distance on that, you know, we're 30 years past that. Looking back now, what are your thoughts? I mean, did it change from when you were in the moment?
Well, I think I remember we had a hit single with When the Heart Rules the Mind, which I thought was the very best of what he and I were capable of, and the other guys. I think it was an extraordinary song, worked very well. I re-recorded it in recent years with Steve Rothery of Marillion, and
my all-time favorite.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, and he complimented me on the vocals and what have you, and I happen to think he's an extraordinary guitarist. We like each other. We're pals, and it was great to do that and add some modern production techniques to it and do an update on it. You know, it's just another take on it. I never say that anything that's re-recorded is better than the original. I wouldn't dream of saying that. See, it's merely a different, as an alternative take on something, but there's something about the song that I think is very musical. It's got that kind of, let me see. There's something of Genesis in there. There's something of Yes in there. There's something of the 1980s, but there's also something of now in it as well. And again, it's a song that I'm very proud of, and I was very pleased to get to sing it myself and reach for those notes and have Amanda Lehman on it as well. So we had two singers on it. I think that it came out very well. It's on an album. Well, actually, it's a box set. The last box set I did, it's on that. So, very happy with that. Interesting GTR. One tries to, think of the team and will there be a reformation of that? But, you know, with each passing year, it gets harder. People have their own priorities, and it's not as easy as you might think to put teams together that existed at one time. You know, people move on, do other things. The important thing is to keep it coming and to keep it fresh.
Right, and keep coming up with new ideas.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, you mentioned Steve Rothery of Marillion. Just as a little aside, the name of my site is Misplaced Straws, which is the combination of Misplaced Childhood and Clutching at Straws from Steve's band Marillion, my all-time favorite.
Right.
So great to have a chat about them anytime we can.
You're good.
Your world tour kicks off at the end of April, and it's literally a world tour. It brings you pretty much everywhere around the globe. How do you prepare for a tour that big, first of all, and who else is joining you in your touring band?
Preparations have started ages ago. Lots of rehearsals, and some days I think I'm on top of it, and it'll take as much rehearsal as you want to give it, because it's a big undertaking to try and do this stuff live. But I've had some rehearsals already with Jonas Reingold on bass and on 12 string, and also
King.
With Roger King. Mm-hmm. We've done that. So he's Swedish. He's one of two Swedes in the band. We have Nad Sylvan with us doing vocals, but then we have a whole ton of harmony singers and all the rest. So I do some lead vocals. He does the majority of the Genesis things, we also have Craig Blundell on drums for the first time, who's worked with King Crimson and with Stephen Wilson in recent times. I hadn't realized that he'd worked with King Crimson, but that means he's no slouch. And
very true.
I think, who have I left out there? I think I mentioned Roger, myself, Jonas.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is an extraordinary team. It has, immense capability, the band. We're just scratching the surface of that. So we all convene for the first time as a band, having done our individual rehearsals and our sort of pairing off and doing various things, next Monday. So in no time at all, we'll be doing that, and I'm very, very excited about it. And I think I've been rehearsing for this more fully than anything I've done for quite some time. I mean, just to do a song justice, such as The Battle of Epping Forest, for instance, just to keep on top of the time signatures as well as the changes, because there's so many chords within it, and it's not straight ahead by any means. So, that's a challenge. Every day I find something else in it that... another chord I should have remembered that I did back in the day. And I think, what seemed natural in 1973, now I look at it and I think, oh, I can see why people were interested in this band that was just starting out in America at that time.
Yeah, I definitely look forward to catching the show when you come stateside. I believe you hit the U.S. around September or so, so I encourage everyone to go on your site, hackettsongs.com, to check the full list of dates.
Yep.
And as you're getting ready to kick this tour off, do you have any idea of what's next for you? Do you write on the road? Are you already planning another project? Or is it just the moment of playing the best shows you can play coming up?
Well, in terms of writing, I write all the time. I'm always jotting down things on paper. It's normally a riff or a brick at a time, and I get a little idea, write it down, and then I'll forget it. I might come back to it. But in terms of doing live shows, most of the time I cherry pick across things and think, well, we've got to do the best music, but it just so happens that this recent album has taken off big time, so I'll do a certain amount of it live this time, and then I'll do some other things from it the next time I go out, because I want to celebrate that and honor it in a big way. I've got so many songs from different eras that I need to be able to do and try and do everyone's favorite. It's not easy. There's a lot of stuff. A lot of people will be saying, "Oh, why didn't you do that one? Why didn't you do that one?" And it'll seem obvious to someone else, but it's always a subjective view. And I don't mean to deny anyone their pound of flesh, but making their dreams come true.
Well, I wish you the best of luck on the tour. Again, I encourage everyone to check out the new record, At the Edge of Light. It really is a brilliant piece of work. And I thank you for your time, and look forward to seeing the show when it comes stateside. So, Steve,
thank you very much. Very nice talking to you, Jeff. Thank you so much.
You as well. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. All the best.
Bye.
Bye.